It's talking about some things today of the 144,000 gathered on Mount Zion, the Old Testament, where it's referred to as Mount Zion. And then, of course, in the New Testament, it's referred to as Mount Zion. As a matter of fact, Revelation 14, it's referred to as Mount Zion. And you really have to differentiate a lot of times to understand what's being said. Now, I'd like to read a little bit from chapter 15. We've been in Revelation for hours today in the deep mysteries of God, which is very rare for me to get to talk to my wife like that. It appears from all that I've understood that Sister Betty is supposed to come into these things, and that David Paul is supposed to come into these things. And there's supposed to be a 30, 60, and 100-fold out of the three that's in the family as to these that are supposed to get this. And then the following of Christ gets it, depending on how much they're willing to submit, how hungry they are, or whatever. And it's freely given to all people. We have to pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. And you have to be willing to die. If you're willing to die, then you can have it. You can't live in this world and have it. You can't be the you, or I can't be the me that's born into this world and have it. Can't do that. That you or me has to die. And the more that you die, the more that you can obtain unto. The less that you die, then the less. So then it's up to you. That's the glorious part about this thing of God, is it's freely given, but it's given to you proportionally by measure. Jesus resurrected from the dead and gave gifts unto men, dealt unto every man the measure of the Spirit. And it's up to you if you're willing to die, and how much of your mind as to desire, possession, activity of this world that you're willing to do away with. And as a rule, most people throughout the world, most people are not willing to give up very much. And still rarely that any people are willing to give up anything. But there are people that's willing to give up some things in life and some of their mind in life to have some things of God. And so then as you empty out the vessel, God fills it up. And people empty it out a little bit and God puts in a little bit because that's all that he can do. And then as it was in the wilderness, they limited the Holy One by their unbelief. So in limiting God, many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. And of course, as to their own desire, as to the natural activities of life, there just wasn't much room left. Or today, there isn't much room left for God. We're so busy doing and going and saying and seeing and buying and having and selling and all these other kind of things, till there's very, very little room that's left for anything that's spiritual. God being a spirit, then we have to have room for that which is spiritual. But you think back now as to your day to day. What did you do today for the Lord? How much time did you take for the Lord today? How much time did you take away from the natural man, the natural woman, for the Lord today? That you might just spend some time replacing your thoughts through transformation, replacing them with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much of that did you do today? So then Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. And how much time do we give God today? And then we think about yesterday and the day before, the month before, the year before. And then of course we realize that our nature as to what it's been in the last few years, that's what it'll be in the next few years. Because you can't change the man's nature, whatever his nature is. That's why that we should really work on it as to Christ. I'd like to say that I appreciate the prayers of everyone, the help of everyone, as to whether it's natural or whatever it might be, spiritual, helping us to do whatever we can, which is our little bit for the Lord. I certainly appreciate our brother and sister, Pasden, that came yesterday and let the church have $17,000 at one time. We're very grateful for that. These people have tried in a great way to give their all to the Lord. And you know, what you've got, you don't have to give everything you've got to God, is to say, give it away. But you do have to surrender it to God, to give it to God in the sense of honoring the Lord with your substance. If you use your house for God, your car for God, or whatever, where people use it in different ways, they want to give money, and some want to use it another way. But what does the Bible say? Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses. The Bible said they'll burst out with new wine. A lot of people do very little for God. They don't give God much of their strength. They don't give God much of their thoughts, much of their time, much of their efforts, much of their substance. They just don't have time to really give anything to God, to die out to the world. And as a consequence of that, a lot of folks don't have a whole lot because they don't honor God with it. But it'd be good if you would, because there's a time coming when you're going to look back and you would have given 10,000 worlds to have gotten what just Sister Betty saw today. Your mind makes you what you are. We say sometimes, and people don't understand, when you talk about the end of the world, the things that's taking place and the things that's coming, they really don't understand. Let's read from chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think I'll start at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and at last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, It is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things unto him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Now, in case you don't understand what is said here, it says that Christ has already conquered all things, already under his feet. But the time's going to come when God's going to say, now it's all finished. As to the end of the millennium, when, of course, the dead and hell shall deliver up its dead. And he said, then the Son, who hath reigned through that 1,000 years and all down through the church ages, shall then be subject to the Ancient of Days, which is the Spirit, the Heavenly Father. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth me, it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, maybe I'll talk to you just a little bit because I'm tired tonight. Times I'm up a little bit. It makes me kind of tired. I feel kind of tired tonight for some reason. And maybe we'll just talk with you a little bit. Notice now, first of all, in the 40th verse, there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. The glory of one body, the celestial, is one. The glory of another body is the terrestrial. It is another glory. And the glory of the sun is different. The glory of the moon is different. The glory of the stars is different. And a natural body, a spiritual body. And as are the earthy, so are the earthy. As is the heavenly, so are the heavenly. Which, it doesn't seem like there's very much in those statements, but there is a tremendous, great, wonderful thing just in those few little lines that we're talking about. He tells us that there is one glory of the moon, another glory of the sun, and another glory of the stars. Now let's just look at it for just a minute. There's a glory of this body, And then there is a glory of the celestial body. This is a terrestrial body, and there is a glory of celestial body. Now, when scientists speak as to their natural application, the earth is terrestrial and the heavens are celestial. So we know that that's only symbolic. There really is a terrestrial as to what we are, and there really is a celestial as to what we are to be, as we say, to the change. So then when we say a glory of the moon, a glory of the stars, and a glory of the sun, one of the things that we first have to learn is that when you speak of the moon, when you speak of the sun, when you speak of the stars, you can by observation see a difference in that the sun is something that is a ball of fire, and the moon is something that is a reflector of the light that comes from that fire. And that the greater light, when God came forth, saw that darkness was upon the face of the deep, he said, let there be light, and there was. And he said, let the greater light be for the day, and the lesser light be for the night. So we see the greater light, which is the sun, hath a brilliance and a glory so far surpassing the moon until there is not even any comparison. Because the moon is a reflector. And of course, if we went into spiritual things tonight, which we probably won't get into a whole lot because, like I said, I'm tired. But if we went into that, then it would be unbelievably real as to the difference. Just as to a natural surveillance, as to an intellectual survey of the moon and the sun. And with the stars, it's the same way. Because as there is the sun and the moon, then there is also stars that are little suns, and there are stars that are little moons as to being reflectors. And the Bible speaks of the wandering stars, which are not stars as the suns filled with fire, but nickel and rock that is reflectors. And the Bible speaks of the wandering stars, comparing these natural stars to spiritual stars as to the spirit world, or as to a physical realm, as to physical stars, as the two kinds. And in your physical realms, you've got white, black, yellow, red. So then in that realm, you see a world of difference. And then in the spiritual world, you see a world of difference. And then in the natural earth, as to the natural stars, you see a world of difference. And in either one of those realms, as to the natural, as to the physical, as to the spiritual, you can break them down into three parts. Like you would say, there is the celestial and the natural, taking just the natural part of it. There are the stars as to them that are above your head. See, and then you've got three parts of that world if you take as God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. And in those things, it is three different kinds of species as to a world. And then when you leave, as we would say, the water world as to the natural, and you go to the blood world, then again you can break it down in the blood world, and you can see in the blood world, it's the same thing. And we could take our time and break it down tonight, which would take a lot of time. And it might take you a lot of time to listen. But in the physical realms, you can break it down. Now, when you get over to your spiritual realms, it'll break down in the spiritual world the same way into three different parts. So great is the mystery of godliness. But when you say the glory of one, then just looking at it through, as I would say, natural eyes, you can see there's a world of difference between all of these things. And then when you look at it through spiritual eyes, you realize that the glory of the sun is one as to what it represents when the Bible says the heavens declare his handiwork. And so the sun is altogether different as to what the moon represents in spiritual revelation as to declaring his handiwork. And the moon is altogether different as to what it represents when it comes to the stars declaring his handiwork. So then every one of them has a revelational thing of their own, and in the revelation of what they represent, then is that their glory. So when I look at the human body as to the terrestrial, and I look at the human body as to the celestial, I see the same thing, that as to a natural body, there is a difference in the glory of that body than as what it would be if it was a celestial body. For the celestial body has a glory in revelation as to its understanding altogether different from the natural body. So everything difference in glory. Even a woman, her hair is her glory. And as to a man, his strength is his glory. And on, each thing difference in their glory. So this is what we are interested in, is the glory. We want to obtain unto the glory. And the Bible says that God will not give his glory to another. So then God differeth in glory from man. And God will not give his glory to another. So the world to God is another, and they can never have his glory. Though he puts the blood on the seat of atonement, and though he gives unto the world this wonderful grace of God that they might behold his glory to the extent that they can see somewhat, and yet they cannot see to the extent that they don't have eyes to really see the glory of God, but only the reflection of the glory of God. And in the world it's given to them to see the reflection of the glory of God. For it is reflected in humanity. And God has one that is a reflector. And then he has one that is not a reflector. Now like here, I preach. And I preach to you. You listen at the gospel. You listen at the wonderful things of God. Both hears it. Both the reflector and the non-reflector. Both sides of it hear. And both sides of it takes it into their hearing, into their senses. But when it comes to taking it down into the heart, only those that are not reflectors can receive it in the heart. As to the conception of it to bring forth life, as to be as the Son itself, as God himself, only they that can conceive of it in their heart. So then the difference, you can tell the children and their difference, for the child is known by his doings. And when this wonderful gospel comes forth, the reflectors hear it, they joy over it, they get it as to the hearing, as to the natural, and then they go out from the light, and when they get back out into the world, they go back into their old frame of mind. They go back to their money-making machines. They go back to their frolic. They go back to their gospel. They go back to their bodies, to their faces, to their thoughts, to their relatives, to their visiting. Whatever it might be, they go right back to their own mind and own lifestyle, because this light that shined, though it was jubilance and joy, and though they were illuminated with this light just like Adam and Eve was, yet just as quick as they get back out into the world, the darkness is there and the light has withdrawn to the extent that they were only a reflector in the church while they were listening to this light. And they go right back to their temper and gossiping and backbiting and passions and whatever it might be. They are reflectors. But people who are not reflectors, they listen, they get this light, and this light mixes with their light and makes their light even brighter. And when they leave the presence of this light, they do not go out. They do not go out into the darkness as to go out, but like a candle, they move right on through the darkness like a lamp. They carry their light. They've got all in their lamps, and their wicks are trimmed, and they go through this thing as to having the light all through the transitional changes of life, as having this light, and their minds are continually on spiritual things. And when they leave the presence of the Word and the environment of the Word and the spiritual enlightening of the Word, they go right on meditating in God's Word. They go right on praying. They go right on fasting. They go right on thinking on the wonderful things of God. Continually they are moving in the wonderful things of God. Always their mind is meditating day and night in God. All the time that they're away from the church, they're wanting to do something for God. They're thinking about God. They're trying to find the revelation of Christ. They're trying to get the understanding of the mind of the Lord. But if you are a reflector, just as soon as you go out of the presence of the light, then you go right back into the darkness. And when you go right back into the darkness, that is to say your intellectual reasoning, you're doing the same old things that you always done because it's your nature.
So then this is the difference between the reflector and the ones that are not reflectors. He that is born to this light is not overshadowed as to the illumination of this light, as Adam and Eve that can wander out of that light or be enticed away from that light by the beastly approach of that human enticement. See, they that are born to the Spirit have the Spirit on the inside of them, and they radiate as light coming from a light bulb, and it's there with them all the time. This wonderful light, this wonderful exuberance, this wonderful strength, this wonderful desire. And always, no matter when you meet them, night or day or what time, their minds are on God. Their inner man is still thinking on God. And that inner cup is filled up and running over, because he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And as a result of this, it's not long before these people have received the revelation of the Lord Jesus. They're beginning to grow like a little child as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus. They that are reflectors continue to grow in the natural because they eat, they feed themselves, they exercise their bodies, and they go on from day to day. So they grow from a little fella up into a grown up. And that one that's in the Spirit, as to the new birth, Christ on the inside of you, while the preacher is travailing, or the mother, as to spiritually say, is travailing to bring forth the Christ in her life, then during the Spirit of time, that little one is growing, and she's feeding that little one, and he's getting greater and greater and greater and greater. As the new birth, then he grows on into the full stature of Christ Jesus. So then there's a natural life. There's a spiritual life. The natural life is terminal. The spiritual life is not terminal. There's a natural man. There is a spiritual man. It's to the inner man. That means that in the world today there are is of diversity, as differentiating between the good and the bad. There are people that are for the judgment, that are beasts, and some brute beasts may be taken and burned, and they dwell in the earth as to their minds. And there are others that dwell in heaven, which are good folks that love the Lord though they stumble. They're always trying to go about as Jesus did, doing good, living good, being holy and godly. So then we find that there is a difference between these people. Now, when we get to this, then we come to a mind. And we start talking about a mind. When we start talking about a mind, then we get lost unless we really know spiritual things. Because, as I say so often, what makes an individual what it is not its composure as to the outside in image or appearance. That's not what makes it what it is. If, as to the image, as to say a man or a beast or whatever, then how could Paul say that I fought with beasts, speaking of men? How could the Bible then say brute beasts made to be taken and burned? Or these are beasts, as to differentiating between human beings and beasts. See, so it's not as to what you behold, for the Bible said, speaking of the spiritual man, one that's been born again, then you are not to know him after the flesh, as to behold him as the image of the bastard child. For he is not at all of this world, neither is he at all of this flesh. And if judging after the image as to the outward man, and that the Bible said the world looketh on the outward appearance and is always working with the outward appearance as the body and face, then if that be so as to be the right way, then how is it that Jesus made in an image of death and made in an image of sin, and yet inside he was the very God and the very Christ? And he was not at all an image of sin, nor was he at all an image of death, but rather an image of life and an image of God. And when it was revealed as to the resurrection, it showed very clearly that the glory that he had was not at all of that of the image of sin, which was sinful man, and as to condemnation and dishonor, as unto death and rejection by God. So then he was as that of honor, as to raise up from the dead with grace and with the great wonderful blessings and admiration of Almighty God, unto the extent that God took him, raised him up in the highest place that could be attained, and set him at his own right hand. So then we see that we cannot judge after the outward appearance. For what a man inwardly is, you do not know unless you have a discernment. You meet a man, you meet a woman, you think, now this is the fine man, and he may be a murderer, a liar, a whoremonger, a thief, whatever. You meet a woman, you think, now this is a fine woman. She looks fine, just like the man. But when you look at her, she may be a prostitute, she may be a liar, she may be a cheat, she may be a thief, she may be a murderer herself. She may would split your throat and you'd never know anything about it till after she'd cut you. So then we realize that looking at people, you cannot tell. You look at people, I've looked at many people in my lifetime, and here would be a murderer or a liar, a thief, and here would be another one, and this over here, as looking at them, you would have thought it was right the reverse. And Satan's so clever in his deceit, like doing business, a man will come in and you've got a business and he says, I want to buy. You see, all right, I'll extend you credit. Or I'll sell to you. And this man may talk, he may act as though he was one of the greatest polished individuals, most honest, straight fellow you ever met. And he may be crooked as a snake. Another man that might come in, he might not even know how to conduct himself. His speech might not be too good. He might appear to be of a lower life level, but the man might be honest, a hard worker, might be straight, get credit from you, might lay it to the line to the very best of his ability. See, so you can't tell. So we find then as a mind, so is an individual. If I had a mind of a lion, I said the other night, I'd roar like a lion. If I had a mind of a dog, I'd be yapping. I'd be trying to bark. If I had the mind of a monkey, I'd be trying to climb a tree. Now, if I had the mind of an elephant, I'd be acting like an elephant. To have the mind of a man, then I would act like a man, because a mind is a life, it's a nature. And the nature makes the image to conform to whatever it might be as to the expression. So then, it's like a person that loses their mind. See, they are one thing today, they lose their mind, and tomorrow they're something altogether different. Got the same body, the body hasn't been changed, but the mind has changed, and they confess that they're something that they was not yesterday. But in their minds, they're fully convinced that that's what they are. They're fully convinced. I prayed with people down at the insane asylum, and they're fully convinced that whatever they tell you they are, that's what they are. So then, whatever the mind is, that's what you are. Being born with the mind of Adam, then that makes you the seed of Adam. And inasmuch as you're the seed of Adam, the Bible said in Adam all die. So then your mind is programmed for death. Because you know that the Bible says, as to God speaking, that you must die. In the day that you take of this mind, Eve, ye shall surely die. Even the tree of knowledge. In this day you become carnally minded, then are ye dead. People that are carnal minded today are dead. For the carnal mind is enmity with God, the spirit of life. So they cannot have life. And Satan is the one that's in that carnal mind that causes that war, in that there is a middle wall of partition between your body and your inner life, which is Christ, even when you're born again. There's a middle wall of partition, which is the infiltration of that intellectual reasoning that comes from the garden. Though your body is the temple of the Lord, as to the new birth, yet it is the tabernacle within your intellectual wilderness, where the serpents abiding are in the world of serpents, Lucifer, the god of this world. Until you come out of that wilderness and you're born again, you're still that tabernacle in the wilderness. But when you come out, you're no longer that body that you was, but because of a new mind, you're now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members in particular. And though the bodily image has not yet been changed as to the expression of this wonderful glory, as the people seeing it, yet that's what you are, and you withdraw from the world, of which we could say many, many wonderful things. So then you find that you are what your mind is. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Which means that according to his mode of thinking, that's what he is. Whether he would be a beast, whether he would be a son of God. Now, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, as the Bible tells us. When this mind comes into you, so are ye in him. As to your thinking God thoughts. So then that turns you into a god, Jesus said. And you're thinking thoughts that are thoughts of eternal life, and thus you are eternal. I cannot think that I have eternal life, or I cannot think that I am eternal and have eternal life and be eternal. But if I have the thoughts of Christ, which is God and which is eternal, then these thoughts do the same thing to me that they done to the body of Jesus Christ, and thus I am. If I have the thoughts of a dentist, then I can go to work and my thoughts will cause me to do my dental work well. I can think that I am a dentist and go in there and I can be pulling a man's teeth out with pliers, you know. And I know they have a form of pliers, but I mean I could just get me some plain old pliers, you know, and not give him a shot and go in there and take it out. And you say, well, nobody wouldn't do that. Well, I remember a dentist doing my wife that way. Nevertheless, I'm simply saying that according to your mind, whatever you are, if you can think as a pilot, you can operate as a pilot. If you can think as a physician, you can operate as a physician. If you can think as a mechanic, then you can do the work of a mechanic. Whatever you think, that's what you are. Whatever you think, then that's what you are. There is a thing to where you can actually think that you cannot fly and you cannot fly. And most of us think like that, I'm sure. But there is a thing to where you can have thoughts of flying and you can fly. Just like the Bible said, Gabriel flew through the air swiftly. Just like Ezekiel lifted up in his body and he sailed off into the valley of dry bones. And just like Enoch when he left the ground and sailed away with God. And just like Elijah when he stepped on board the chariot and away he went. See, it depends on the thoughts in your heart. The Bible said if you'll say what you will, don't doubt it in your heart. That is, if you're born again, then you can have whatever you say. See, or if you decree a thing in your heart as to your thoughts and don't doubt, it will come to pass. So you can ask what you will. If you ask in God in faith, not doubting, everyone that asketh receiveth. And God will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in Him. Now, you cannot do that with your own spirit. You have to do that in God's spirit. When you was a little boy, did you ever get up in a barn in the top of the barn, open the barn door, and you're going to sail like a bird? I've done that. Have you ever jumped out in a parachute? You know, still a sheep, mama sheep, and you're going to jump out? I've done that. Have you ever taken an umbrella? You know, I thought I failed in a lot of those things, and I decided the umbrella was the ideal way. And when I got the umbrella, I jumped out, and sure enough, the wind hit it, and I felt it kind of hold me, you know, and I thought, now this is it. And all of a sudden, the umbrella turned inside out, and down I went. But see, you can do all of those things and make believe. But the thing is a fact that if you're up in the air and if you've got a parachute and you're a parachute jumper, you know how to handle that as a paratrooper, you can jump out of there and just sail down beautifully just like a bird. All right, so then we see that when you are in a state of mind, that is a life, that is a world. Therefore, the Bible says, as to this mind that we're born with, it's not sufficient after life, and we must be born again. And the Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. If my spirit goes into the spirit of Christ, then it's born again. See, and my body is now dead, and that life is now dead, because the life that was in there was my mind and my spirit. And when I died out by that life and spirit and took on another life and spirit as to another mind, I became another person. And though I'm in this tabernacle that's in the wilderness, and people cannot tell this, yet at the end of the way, when the change comes, as to the Thessalonian change, all of a sudden they're going to see who I really was. Who do men say that I am? I would say, Brother Taylor, this is Brother Taylor, or to you, this is Brother Taylor, or Brother Taylor, I know that you're Brother Taylor. And Brother Taylor would say, no, I'm not Brother Taylor. He died, he was buried, and I am a son of God. Then he could say, who do men say that I am? So there is a name for the new birth. There's a name for the natural birth. So I say then, who are you? I'm not to know you after the natural, because We are born to go one way or another. So then as to whatever you are, when you come to a knowledge, whatever you accept, that's what you are. So someone would say, well, who do you say that I am? I would say you are a devil, because I discern that you are a devil. You're the son of the devil. You're children of the devil. The devil's your father, Jesus said. And then somebody else would say, well, who do men say that I am? Or who am I? I would say you are a son of God. Therefore, you have your heavenly name as written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you, as Jesus, he's manifested the Father's name, you come into the world, you manifest your own name, and some of these things we went through today. As to you have a family name just as quick as you come into the world. But you also must have an individual name that is given you. And does Jesus come in the family name? Where he said, I bow my knees, Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Yet he said, I have manifested my Father's name. And then the Father said, because you have done this, as to be faithful to manifest my name, I will give you a name that no one knows but you, which apparently is the bride's name, and to whomsoever you reveal it, he said, they shall know. So then he that overcometh, I will give him a white stone and a new name in that stone. And I will give him to eat of the hidden manna, which has to do with the revelation. It's to die out to your mind, your desire, your old lust of the flesh. Then come forth the mind of purity and the pure mind that the Bible said stir up. The mind that is allowed to be in you, as to whatever measure that mind is, so are you as to the measure in Christ, as to a babe or as to a parent. To grow in the grace and knowledge is to grow bigger in Christ. As to more knowledge, more understanding of the Lord Jesus, thus more grace. You obtain unto a higher place in heaven, which would take a lot of speaking and understanding there as to know what we're saying. But I said all this just to come to a place that I might say we as a people do not understand when the scripture speaks of something like when it says, and ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come, or this is the end of the world. For to us, the first thing we think, as I say, is everything blowing up and everything passing away. When that's not it at all. Because the world is not the earth. The earth is not the world. If the earth is the world, how can the earth in one time be the world and the next time be heaven? See, it has nothing to do with the world. The earth is something that come forth from God and emanated from God as to the thing that God has created, as to the act of God, which can be terrestrial or it can be celestial. It can be a now earth as a natural earth or a coming earth as a celestial world. See, as to the new earth or as to the restored earth, there's several different stages that the earth will go through. So then we feel that we understand a lot of times when we don't understand. So when the Bible said that God so loved the world, then it was there as that glory world of God, as that great world of the garden, as the man that had the right thing in his heart. But see, a world today is as a system. One generation comes, it goes, another comes, it goes, another comes, it goes. But the earth stretches out from eternity to eternity, for the earth abideth forever. For God made the earth to be inhabited. So then when we think of these things, we realize that when the Bible speaks of the old world passing away, then 2,000 years and by water the world perished and the world passed away. If the earth therefore was the world, why is the earth still here when those generations passed away? And then at Calvary we hear it said again, and ye are the people upon the ends of the whom the ends of the world have come, as to say now the blood covenant, the blood era. And then all of a sudden it passes away. And now here we are in the spiritual as to the religious side of things, as to the witness of the water, as to the witness of the blood, as to the witness of the spirit. Now we're in the religious side, as to the spiritual thing. Now here we come down to the end of another 2,000 years, and I'm saying to you, and the world is ready to pass away. It is now passing away, but still the earth is here. Through all that, the earth is still here. See, and the men of God come with their declaration that the end of the world, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. The reason for that the world is in their heart. And when you say, ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come, it's very evident that they are the people of that era, of that age, of that world, and that they are the ones to suffer the consequence as to whatever it sums up to be, as to a final analysis and what we call the grand finale at the end of that age. So then there comes another people, there comes another mind, which is another world. See, as in history, you read about it, one great empire comes up and then the empire falls. It might be the Babylonian Empire. Next, it might be the Persian Empire. The next empire that comes up might be, as we would say, of Alexander the Greatest of the Grecian Empire. And another one would come up would be the Roman Empire. And then another one would come up and say, this is the American Empire. See, and on it goes. And now we're just about to the end of this age where this empire had to fall, just like every other empire failed. And when it failed, that means that that was a world that was going out. That world was in their heart. As to a primitive world, as to those things of stones, as to those things of iron, and then that mind passed away. Because there was another age that overlapped that come out of the old stone age. And it came into a different age as we're taught in history. And then out of that, it come out over into electronic age. And on it goes from age to age. And as this age comes, this mind comes, then the environment changes, the surrounding changes. As to our environment as it was in the days of the Amish back there, the old horse and buggy, it was their mind. They felt like they couldn't have anything else, that they shouldn't have anything else. And some of them are still in the confines of that world because they have never gotten out of it and they still have their old horse and buggy. Because to them, it would be sacrilegious to do anything else. They will not let their minds grow and change. But with the growth and with the changes, as in the knowledge, as we say, and as in God, in the grace of God, even the world out there is with the grace. Then one empire falls and another empire comes. So then we're moving on. And then all of a sudden, because of our knowledge, we look around us and we have a modern world. We have automobiles. We had more modern automobiles. We have planes. And then all of a sudden we have jets. And then all of a sudden we have these astronaut capsules and whatever, you know. So we're moving on from world to world, change to change. And now we've come as to the ultimatum as man's mind, in that God has let Satan pull and tug and pull to bring man on to an angelic side of life, as to an angelic understanding of life, but nevertheless still in the confines of the world, not being able to get to God, and only revealing to them that are foreknowledge people in God as to elect, as to bring them to another level. And so then on and on we go. Now we've come to the ultimatum of that, come down to the end, and now man is scientifically brilliant so that he has gone up into the heavens to fathom the heights. He's gone down into the depths of the sea to fathom the depths. He's gone to the ends of the earth to fathom the length and the width as to the circumference. So then we find that in all of this, now we're at an end. Man is at an end. That is to say, Satan is at an end. He's used up generation after generation, mind after mind, as to growing and growing and growing to try to get back into the heavens. And now he's got, in our day, what we call Hubble, saying that 14 billion light years away and he can get out there into infinity. Because as we say, from light to light we go, as from glory to glory we go, as from understanding to understanding we go, as to the innermost that's coming from within, as to the kingdom of God coming out into our mortal bodies to change this image into that wonderful life and nature on the inside. So at the same time, Satan is working to try in the natural to get into the world. He's in a frenzy. He is in a state of hallucination. He's in a stage of vanity. He cannot find his way, ever learning, never able to get to the world of light. But because of the reflection of that world and the reflection of light and what he hath known in the time of the reflection and of his kingdom, then he is steadily trying to find that world of light. And he's trying to do it as through the veil, which he can never do. So then coming to it, as to the finale, he finally comes to the eve of it and works his way back, climbing up into heaven. The old serpent in the upper lintel, which would take a lot of explaining. But anyway, that is in Revelation. So then coming up to the upper lintel, once he comes to the second heaven, as from earth to the second heaven, after where the ozone layers is breaking down in the type right now. See, coming on up to that, when he comes on up to that, that's as far as he can get. Because when you go beyond that, as shepherd made the door, you go out, as you would say, in the type as to the infinity. Whereas people have naturally gone beyond that, out into, as to the celestial, or the infinity, as they call it, of this world, which is only a vanity. Not really the infinity. But as they have come to that world up there, as to this cold region, that's between the sun and between the earth, that cools down to keep from burning the earth, which is great in Revelation in its time. So have we come to Calvary, as to the crossing of this great ozone, as of this mercy that stands between you and between God. And someday that blood will be taken off of the mercy seat. The ozone layer won't be there, and the fiery indignation of the sun shall come down instead of the light. It will come down as the fierceness of the heat that's absorbed in this middle rim. As to say, the Lord frowning on those devils in the second heaven, and they're wandering through dry places seeking rest, cannot find it except that they get into mankind in the second heaven, which has to do with what we said today is the blood on the seat of atonement. Christ taking away the sins of the world. Great is the mystery of godliness. But anyway, just dropping those little things in, and we know that we're getting close to where the sun will break through and actually scorch the people. As Rick said the other day when he called from out in Paradise, Nevada, said 10 years, scientists say that it'd be so hot you can't stay in this country or this part of the country, that people will then begin to resort to Canada and to Alaska because of the ozone layer being eaten up. And of course, it's man's doings that's eating it up. As to these things that they're doing, it's eating it up. So it is man's doing that is taking away the mercy and eating up the mercy. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up, eaten up the mercy, to where the wrath of God is going to come through on you. He has suffered before as to a veil of iniquity, as to your ignorance, and God once winked at ignorance, and he suffered that ignorance that you might get by with it that you didn't know. The Jews being symbolic. But now he commandeth all men to repent. So the hour is here now that your ignorance cannot be an excuse. Ignorance is no excuse for the law. So then now it's everywhere. You have to know. You have to learn. You have to apply yourself. And so then the wrath of God is coming because the veil is being broken down more and more. And as to Calvary, the veil has been rent in twain. And that means that we must, as Satan coming to this Eve, as to this point, sitting upon the circle of the earth, then that is as God, and here he is standing between God and between the people. Now, at this point, Satan has reached the point of infinity as to making you a spiritual being, which means making you into a devil. At the same time, that has run adjacent with Christ in the church, has reached that same point as making them into a spiritual image, born in the natural unto death, changed, and now we are spirit, born to the spirit, and now we come to this break, or to this point of change, and we're changed into heavenly angels, while the other is changed into deathly angels, as to earthly beings, or that which is made for the fire. So then we go into the light of God, or we change over into spiritual beings, as in heaven we are spirits, or as the angels. So then we find that Satan has come to this point just to find out that end of the days of grace, and that the only way he has ever had power and rule was as a reflector through the days of grace. And now the very minute that this blood comes off, then the shadow dissipates because the light strikes Satan, and down Satan goes. And as Jesus said, beholding Satan as lightning fall from heaven, all of a sudden Calvary is made manifest as to the end, where the Bible said here, and when it is said that all things are put under his feet, then it is that he is accepted, that is him that is to come, which is God Almighty, that everything may be under God, even the Son himself being subject to God, Once Satan has run his course as to the type, to the shadows, to the veil is to which the sun represents. All right, it'd take a lot of explaining. We explained these things to Betty today. But anyway, going through this, coming to this point, when he gets there, he doesn't realize it, but it's really his end. It's really his end. That to get into the light is through the light years or whatever he's trying to do. To get into that light, and he's running a type, and when it gets to a certain place, then that which is infinity as to the light, it will be at the same point as in heaven, so in the earth, or as in the spirit, so in the body. See, and when he gets to that same point, then he'll go out, because it'll be the eradication of the veil and the Calvary, and the light will come forth, and the shadows which make time and death will be no more. So then we see that it was needful to have light. It was needful to have darkness. And of course, we explained today why you have to have darkness as to the act of God and how that God used it and what way it benefited us and God. So then maybe sometimes when we get a chance, we might be able to go under as to us darkness versus light or light versus darkness. But this I said to you to let you know that we're coming down now to the end of the trail, down to the end of the way. And as to one world and this great empire passing, because another knowledge has been put in people, and for numbers of years now they've transformed it in their mind, and they have brought in a spiritual world that has been unseen. And now they're at the point of making manifest as to this mind and this life and this inner person as to manifest and build their world now, like scientists symbolically build their world. And now we're on the verge of another change as to a world empire falling and a new world coming in, as when the old world of that over the gulf went out and the miracle called the new world come in. As to Benjamin Franklin, as to them coming to the light, as to that which is typical. So then we can find right here that we need to do something. It's about to be revealed who you are now. It's about to be made manifest as to the manifestation of the sons of God, and the darkness is about to dissipate. The day star is about to dawn as to saying whether in your heart or as to the light of them that do have it within them, as to cause the dissipation of the shadow, even the image of perversion that is their fellow. Moses come down off the mountain. He said, lay the sword to your fellow. Don't stop. Kill everyone that's not in this light. And the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they went down to the pit quickly. So it's just about time for that thing of the revealing of the light. Sister Betty said today when she heard this, I feel that this is about to leave the people here and go out to the other people throughout the world. Said, so we really need to do something. And she realized what is really here, as she come to realize and to know what is really in the earth and what is really here for the people, I could tell that it literally astounded her. And that with all of her thinking, all of her being with us, all of the talk, all of whatever, that she never really fully realized that God Almighty has really come to visit his people. But he has come to visit his people, and I don't know about you, but I made him welcome in my heart. Let's give him a hand. Let's everybody stand together. The beauty of some of the things today that we talked about, it's going back to the life of Brother Branham, going back to the caves, going back to the different things that's happening and why they're happening and the way they're happening and how beautiful and how perfect they are as to their precision of happening, and how that all of it was just one and all of it just fit together so beautifully. It was just one all the time. And the people just never have been able to see it. And the division and the part as to the program of God has been their concept as to their reasoning. And that in all reality, if their reasoning was not as it is, it would not run an interference as to darkness contrary to light, and that it would all fit together like the beautiful puzzle. When everyone does his little thing in the spirit and they come together, it'll be the great, wonderful, heavenly thing like we saw in heaven. Okay, let's sing together.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul for my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. But the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into Lord, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in to stay, and come in to stay. Come in. Lord Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace and mighty God's King. Keeping me, he's saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. For he's wonderful, King Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, he's the Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. Can you sing with me? For he's wonderful, King Jesus is to me. So Lord, I'm a prince of peace, mighty God is here. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. Love him, let's give him a hand, Daniel. Jesus is wonderful to me. He's wonderful to me. Let's sing this little chorus. I probably can't remember it, sing it right, but Brother Taylor can. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a silver mine. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that first city where we'll never grow. And someday young I'll never wonder
Ghost. Sing that with me. For I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright city where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder I will never more wander, but walk on streets that, can you sing it with me once again? We've got a mansion. Where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold. One more time together. So I've got a man just over the hilltop in that fair city, will never grow old. And someday yonder I will never more wander, but walk on streets that our purest gold.
If you love the Lord, say amen. Let's sing another little chorus. While we're singing this little chorus, the altars are open. Okay, let's pray for the little grandbaby. And I think this is Danny. Okay.
It's Danny and Alma's baby, and it's Brother Al and Sister Nobby's grandbaby.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful little thing. Let's pray for it. And I tell you, so many times the Bible teaches that little ones is an heritage from God. And, the devil can take life, and he's always taking, but he can't give life. God has always given life. So we're going to pray for us, got yellow jaundice, and let's pray that God will heal the little one so he won't have to go to the hospital. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we feel faith out in the audience that these people really, truly believe, God, that you've taken this away from this little baby, that you've healed this little baby. Dear God, make it so that it doesn't have to go to the hospital. Heal it according to your will, according to your blessings, according to your power. Heal it. Heal it. I feel you healing it right now. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Heal.
Thank you, Jesus.
Make it well. You say it. All right. Good. Praise ye the Lord, everybody. Praise ye the Lord. Make his path straight. Praise ye the Lord. I had a night vision sometimes over in the morning. I don't know just when it was, but I saw, I don't know where I'll say who or not, might be offensive to him, so I won't say anyway. I saw a brother standing here that was choking to death. A few nights ago we had him to bring somebody that was choking to death. And I saw this brother choking to death. It looked like we was at a meeting somewhere. And I had got up, kind of turned around like I was leaving. As I started to leave, I saw this brother choking to death. I turned around right quick and laid my hands on him and rebuked Satan. And I kept saying to Satan, I said, as I rebuked him, I said, Satan, you don't have any power over this body, over this human being. You don't have any power over it. We have all power over you. This brother has all power over you. For the Bible said, behold, I'll give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. And I said, he's got power over this thing that you're trying to do to him. But anyway, he kept choking to death, and he was frantic, he was fearful, he couldn't get a hold of his faith.
And he was dying, and finally he just, you know, he went on out just like he was dying. And just as he got as completely gone, then I kept screaming this out, and he got a hold of himself, and he retained his life. And I took him and laid him down over here. He retained his life. He didn't die, but he had gone right down to death's door, and Satan had begun to turn him loose and leave him. So it pays to pray. It pays to be in tune with God, because this brother's standing here tonight and he's just as healthy as I know of anybody that could be. As a matter of fact, he's probably one of the most healthy men standing here. Probably has less problem as far as regularity, you know, like general problems. But nevertheless, it was happening. A young man, he's not an elderly man, he's a young man. So it really pays to watch, it pays to pray, it pays to be in the things of God, it pays to do something for Christ, because you don't know whether you'll go young or whether you'll go old. You don't know whether you'll live to be many years or you just go out as a young man or woman. Let's sing together a little bit more and worship the Lord and try to get on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Remember, you've got to hold on to your faith. You love the Lord? Well, let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. Say with me now. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Say it. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, we'll be happy, oh so happy in our soul. Say one more time. Just let tomorrow just be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain or the sun shine, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's sing this little chord. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no worldly thing. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. God's everything. So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no diamond ring. For all we want is the revelation. For to me, that one more time. So I don't need no gold or silver,
and I don't need no worthy thing. All I want is the love of Jesus for me. God said one more time, so you can have your gold and silver, and you can keep your diamond rings. All I want is life eternal for to me. That's everything. Just one more time. So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no worldly thing. All we want is the love of Jesus for me. Everything. Let's give him another hand. Can you lift your hands with me and close your eyes? Give me another key. I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Once again together now, and I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. But ask Brother Willie to come and dismiss us. Give him glory. Away, yeah. One more time together, should it come. And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners.